Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland and Paul Grant this week, another rousing edition of the Legacy and Faith Show, the subject that we all know about, but don't want to talk about sometimes. And
you don't want to talk about death and dying?
Come on,
what's up with that?
Taxes, death and taxes. But, we're all going to face that at one point in our life, and preparing for it in a responsible way is what you're all about. And discussing these topics on the Legacy and Faith Show, actually some good news this week. We're looking at Medicare, Medicaid, how to handle that as you approach that situation. Maybe an emergency situation comes up in your life, your family's life. And you were talking last week about something called a Medicaid trust. Now, what did you mean by that?
Well, so we've been on a series here of what you've said, Medicaid, Medicare. And if this show goes according to plan, this will be our last discussion on it. We're going to start moving on to some other things, some other topics to cover. So, we talked about the three options of how we get care around us or prepare for any type of long-term care scenario last week. And we talked about being self-insured, using long-term care insurance, or we're using the family plan, which is that we have no plan, and hopefully the kids just step in and help us out.
Okay.
And we left the discussion off last week. We kind of got crunched on time, so I started to talk about the issue of what does it mean to have a Medicaid trust. And one of the discussions we had off air was, but I thought Medicaid was a government program, and so now all of a sudden we can set up this trust that you just mentioned, Paul.
What
so
mean?
What in the world is going on? Well, so fantastic question, and let's look at that for a little bit here today. So as attorneys, what we're trying to do is we're trying to assist a family in protecting what little they have or in an emergency situation, to adjust it or maneuver it so that Medicaid can then step in. Remember, Medicaid is if you have no finances and we need social assistance. We need governmental assistance. So there's ways that we can make adjustments if it's an emergency situation. And in other words, someone's already needing that and they're going to run out of money soon. Mm. And the family now is in a very heightened state of nervousness, of fear, of what are we going to do? And so there's ways that we can assist people to make adjustments that are legal. Okay, so let's cover that. It's legal.
Okay.
So we're not beating the system. I know in some listeners' opinion, some of these conversations are that we're beating the system and people are utilizing governmental assistance that I'm paying for. Well, yes, that is a truth. But the system is created with some of these loopholes. And so it is what it is. I'm just telling you what the options are. And so... So in an emergency situation, there are ways to adjust finances to assist people. Usually there's going to be a disqualification period, and it's the place where we don't want to find ourselves.
Right.
There are the least amount of options, and for most people, they will end up spending all their money. And so, so it's an unfortunate position and a very scary position. So then we talked about that we can start doing things ahead of the curve to assist clients as attorneys. And one of them is that we start maneuvering some of our assets into what's known as a Medicaid trust.
Yeah.
So it's a trust that is created today. Okay. And
before you need Medicaid.
Before you need it.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly right. And so this would be appropriate for individuals who just don't have very much. And one of their biggest concerns is I fear that I'm going to be in a position where I need long-term care assistance. And so therefore, how can I safely protect some of my money to meet that goal? So in other words, what we can do is we can start, for the lack of better terminology, a Medicaid trust it's called a supplemental trust. It's also very akin to a special needs trust. So we can begin to maneuver our personal assets away from us. It is a permanent absolute gift. And at the end of last week's show, I mentioned that that offends part one of my definition of estate planning, which is for clients, they want to remain in control of their assets. As a matter of fact, I have yet to meet a client who says, you know what, just giving away all my assets is perfect for me. I don't need a penny to my name today. That doesn't resonate with us.
No.
We like control. So therefore, part of the Medicaid trust offends really what I want to help clients do. I want them to remain in control for as long as possible, but set up a system and a process that will allow them to preserve and protect their wealth.
So it's not quite the emergency.
Correct. It's mm-hmm. definitely not the emergency. Mm-hmm. It is, we're making decisions ahead of the curve mm-hmm. so that we can set aside funds in preparation of I need care. And if those funds are never used, then we've protected a, for lack of better terminology, a trust can be like a bucket, and it's a place where we can put our assets, but the grantor, the trust maker, the one who needs assistance, they must take their hands off. So we have to have trusted people over, who are managing that bucket of assets, and it can't be used for the one who needs the care. So this is all counterintuitive, I know. I'm moving assets away from myself, but it is really a wealth preservation technique. It is not a technique of allowing those assets to be utilized for me. So then the most common thing that we really do is we want to put a house over there. So let's say your house is paid off and that's your biggest asset. It's really, really hard to get to your cash value in a house. So it's either you have to go out and you have to take a mortgage out. But at this time of life, when people are aging, they're not having the same income. And it's really, really difficult to qualify that says, yes, you'll be able to afford a mortgage. So that won't work. So a lot of times then another tool is that we can utilize a reverse mortgage. So we have equity. So we're going to get a company to say, we will give you cash on a monthly basis. It's the equity in your home. And we are going to return the equity back to you when and if you need it. So you can either take it in a lump sum. So let's say you have $200,000 of equity. They can actually take a majority of that out right away. Or you can almost have like a supplemental income to where they're giving you mm-hmm. monthly payments mm-hmm. With a reverse mortgage. Now, there's proponents of reverse mortgages and there's critics of reverse mortgage. You're going to find, you know, people out there with different viewpoints.
It's gone through a lot of evolution, though. It used to be kind of scurrilous and easy to get ripped off, but they put a lot of safeguards into it now.
They have, and the government has really stepped in and created very strong programs. And so a lot of the fear of reverse mortgage was from the time ago, was back in the 90s when it was easier to get taken advantage of, and the benefits really ended up not being what the claim was. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, with greater regulation, specifically after the 08 right. Real estate right. downfall, things have really begun to turn around, and so they're far safer products nowadays. The reverse mortgage process mm-hmm. is, mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, John Harding is a great individual, and I know that he actually advertises mm-hmm. here. I know him personally. Mm-hmm. I trust him. A high man of character. And so, if you need some assistance, listen to that commercial. Mm-hmm. It's not a gimmick. He's the real deal. Mm-hmm. So there you go, John. There's another free plug. How about that, huh? So reverse mortgages are much more secure nowadays. But again, the one thing I love about John is he'll sit down with you and discover if it's the right decision for you.
Right.
Is there a theme here in everything that I do? Right. We got to sit down and discover if it's the right deal. So now, if a So a reverse mortgage may or may not be your cup of tea. We can't usually get a loan. So now how do we gain access, or what do we do with our house? A lot of times people will move their house into a Medicaid trust or an irrevocable trust. And the reason that we'll want to do that is because if one spouse passes away, or if you're single out there and you have a home and you needed Medicaid, the house is a safe asset. So in other words, we're not going to take your house, and we're not going to make you go take all the asset, we're not going to make you liquidate your home in order to pay for long-term care. But what the state will do is they will say, but we've kept a tab on you. We know exactly how much money we've spent on you. So you've qualified for Medicaid, and now you pass away, and your estate is going to get a bill from Washington State, and it's called Medicaid recapture. And they're going to say, because we allowed you to keep your house without making you sell it, now what we want is we want you to sell the home, and we want you to pay the state back for everything that we gave you. Mm. And that's called Medicaid recapture. And the house is the one asset that is the easiest thing for the state to go after, because it was exempt, so we didn't make you sell it. Now, there are some qualifications. If you've lived out of your home for over a year, then it changes. So we can't have a house sitting empty unless it is a dependent child who is going to be living there. And so, there's always these rules and these tricks within the social system. But now we have Medicaid recapture. In other words, we're going to make you repay it. So one of the things that a Medicaid trust is actually very strong and can be used for is if the house is paid off, you own it outright, then we can move that into a Medicaid trust. In other words, all it is it's an irrevocable trust. So don't get caught up on the terminology Medicaid trust. It's an irrevocable trust. Mm. Move the house over there, and now the house, as long as you haven't needed care for the next 5 years, so we're always against these rules, the 5-year look back that we talked about last show, then that asset is going to be preserved for your beneficiaries and for your heirs because we've taken it out of the purview of Medicaid recapture.
Is this only a house that is paid for? What about a house that still has a mortgage on it?
No, because if we move the mortgage away with the house, then there's what's called a due on sale clause in every mortgage, which says that if you transfer this home, then we have the legal right to immediately recapture the entire unpaid balance. Okay. So if we moved a house with a mortgage, the mortgage company would come back to us and say, okay, we'll pay up.
Yeah.
So it's like a sale. And so that's what is called a due on sale. It should really be called a due on transfer clause instead of a due on sale clause. Okay. That would be more accurate.
Okay.
So Medicaid trusts, or an irrevocable trust in this discussion, the one area that we can possibly begin to move things is a home. But that's an irrevocable gift. It's an absolute gift. And now we're going to lean upon the cash that you have, IRAs, cash, savings, investments. And then we need to live off of those assets. So we're still in this gray period. I haven't given too many solutions yet. So after break, we're going to give some better solutions here and really start bringing this topic home. I don't like giving up control. And most individuals don't like giving up control. The reason that they do the emergency Medicaid, or they start gifting things to a Medicaid trust and give up control, is because they don't have other solutions. So let's talk about how can we keep people in control of their estate, make a preemptive, in other words, ahead of time, a plan that will benefit both you, your spouse, and your family long term, and really live up to what my tagline is, which is that we want to create plans that preserve wealth and family values for generations. So let's talk about that on return.
Okay, we will be back with more of this discussion, Medicaid trusts and the like. Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant. If people are intrigued, they want to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
Come on over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. You'll find podcasts, educational sessions, and a way to contact us.
Okay, back with more in just a moment.
Are you aware that most estate plans don't work? Hi, this is Paul Grant, the host of the Legacy and Faith Show on KCIS AM 630. If you are considering creating your own estate plan and don't know where to start, or would like to know why most estate plans don't work, I invite you to attend an educational session on the truth about estate planning on Monday, June 11th from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. You can register at legacyandfaith.com in the events tab. And good news, you can attend in person at our Linwood office, or you can now attend online via live streaming. Many listeners have desired to join our educational program from around the Pacific Northwest, and now you can do so without traveling. So head over to legacyandfaith.com and register for the Truth About Estate Planning on Monday, June 11th at 6:30. That's legacyandfaith.com, where you can also download podcasts from our previous episodes and the Legacy and Faith Show.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
Planning with Purpose, the law offices of Paul Grant, is accepting applications for a part-time office assistant and is always seeking highly motivated and exceptional attorneys. If you're interested in joining a team that seeks to serve families, then go to legacyandfaith.com and use the website's email option to express your interest.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, interesting discussion this week on the Legacy and Faith Show about Medicaid, a Medicaid trust. Who knew there was such a thing as a Medicaid trust? A lot of people feel like they don't have a big estate and they probably will need Medicaid someday, and they want to prepare for that. So you can prepare for the time when you need Medicaid by creating a Medicaid trust. Paul, you're telling us we can put the paid-for house into this Medicaid trust, and that essentially protects the home from the
from Medicaid recapture.
Medicaid recapture. Yeah. That was a new term, too. Yeah. I didn't realize they'd come after you for Medicaid recapture.
Yeah, so this is an extraordinarily complicated area of law. Very complicated. It's very hard for me to communicate this over airway. If I had a whiteboard, I could do a much better job. So, but again, everything comes back to what is your personal situation. Mm. I can't emphasize that enough. As a matter of fact, over the past couple shows, the broken record in me, this is an individual discussion. We have to sit down. You need to find an attorney that you trust to talk you through what can I do and what are my options if this is a big concern of yours. So anytime we create a Medicaid trust or an irrevocable trust, it means that anything we put over there, whether it's a house, whether it's assets, it doesn't matter if it's in an emergency situation or a preemptive situation, it means that the one who put it there can never benefit from it again.
Mm.
And that's why we lose control. We give up full and absolute control over that asset. And that's a big deal. And actually, that is such a big deal that it makes this type of planning inconceivable for many people. Okay? And rightfully so, by the way. And rightfully so. So if we move that house over into an irrevocable trust, I can't benefit from it. It can't come back to me. And it must go to my beneficiaries, typically my kids. Okay. So even when I pass away, then that asset is safe and it goes to my kids, but I can't benefit.
But you also need to have done this at least 5 years out from when you might need Medicaid, because otherwise, so what happens if they did the Medicaid trust and within 2 years, they all of a sudden need Medicaid? What's going to happen?
Yeah. So again, the value of what we gave away then gets pulled back over to our estate value. So if I had $100,000, but I gave away $100,000, the government wouldn't say, well, you have to go get the $100,000 back. We're just going to pretend that you have $200,000 still. And so it gets added back to your ledger as if you have that cash to use. And then it goes through a math formula of if and when the government will actually step in and assist you with Medicaid. But let's talk about some different solutions. A lot of this has been a setup, and it's actually taking me much longer to get to some of these points. But again, this is a really complicated area. There's a lot of moving parts.
And a lot of people, though, are in this situation.
Yeah, they are. And I don't know the stats, but...
probably at least half the population, probably.
I would think so. I think that's fair that most individuals don't have sufficient finances just to keep writing checks at anywhere from $5,000 to $15,000 a month for their long-term care. So then what do we do? Well, there is other type of planning, and unfortunately, it is a little bit limited. And so it's limited to married couples. And so for married couples, we have greater options. And I'm sorry, singles, it's just the way it is. This is not an encouragement for you just to go out and find somebody off the street and say, well, I need to be married for some Medicaid planning, so you're it. So I'm not suggesting this at all, okay? It needs to be a little better designed than that. So, but singles, I apologize. There's fewer tricks that we can do because we cannot move the assets between the spouses in the same way that we can when we have two individuals that are legally entitled to the same assets. But really what we're going to, what I want people to hear is that with the proper planning, we can create a system to where the clients for married couples can remain in control of their assets for the duration of both of their lifetimes. So far, we're off to a good start, is that we haven't offended rule number one in Paul's system, which is, I want to remain in control of my assets, okay? Now, definition number two, or rule number two, is I want to be prepared that if I experience a disability, that my plan can take care of me, the one who needs assistance, and those who depend on me, such as my spouse or maybe other adult kids. So now we're going to start devising a plan that can meet that part of the definition in our firm. So we retain control. So during the lifespan of both married couples, if one of you needs help and needs assistance, needs long-term care, we either need to have another system set up, an insurance policy, or we need to be able to support you during that time period. But when one of the spouses passes away, now we have our greatest opportunity to do Medicaid planning properly. And here's really where it comes down to the greatest opportunity we have, is that when an estate plan is properly designed, that we can put in to a trust scenario. Now, this is not the irrevocable trust I was just talking about. That's typically what other attorneys will do, is start devising an irrevocable trust. So if you just go online and start and do Medicaid trust, I mean, you'll get information all over the board out there. But all of those systems make you give your assets away, and I don't like that. So therefore, let's create a plan where you stay in control. But now, when the first one of you passes away, we need to have a plan that is ready to protect the surviving spouse. As a matter of fact, it's more common than what listeners would believe that in a married couple situation, that let's say the husband, because I always pick on husbands. So sorry, husbands, you're getting picked on again. You either die first or you become disabled in my stories. So now you need care. Okay. And the wife now is the only person to do all of the tasks of the household. Maybe the husband did the finances, but now the spouse, the wife needs to do the finances plus everything else that their traditional roles, whatever they were. The bottom line is that now the wife, who is the healthy person, is doing everything. In addition, they're also now the caretaker. So now guess what happens to that, to the healthy wife? They start getting worn down. Their stress level is out the roof. And believe it or not, it is more common than what you would believe that is the person who dies first. Is because all of the responsibility has now been heaped onto one person. without appropriate care, they pass away. And now we're even in a worse pickle because the one that we were caring for, we already knew needed help. So in the system that I can design is that for married couples only, we can create a system where you're in control of your finances. If one of the spouses passes away, we can set up a process that we can make a family decision of whether or not it would be an appropriate decision to open up a Medicaid trust for the survivor. Mm. And this is not an all or nothing approach. We can put some of our assets over there. So let's use some real numbers. Let's say someone passes away with $400,000. That means we have $200,000 for the one who passed away. We have a family opportunity to either A, have all of that stay with the surviving spouse, or B, move some of it or all of it into a protected entity that if the survivor ever needed assistance during their lifetime for Medicaid, that bucket would actually be able to be used for their benefit, which is different than the other Medicaid mm-hmm. trust that we've talked about. Mm-hmm. So now we've set up a scenario. You're in control. We have options when the first spouse dies, and all the estate can be utilized for the benefit of the survivor. Mm. And we need to have this conversation.
We need to have this conversation. We've been just like Paul has mentioned, it's a huge subject. It just
very
barely
big.
Scratching the surface. But what's encouraging about this is there are options. If
yes.
you start planning now.
That's it.
What's too young to start planning this kind of thing?
Well, for all estate planning, everyone needs an estate plan if mm-hmm. you're over 18 years old. Mm-hmm. But if you have the concern, if long-term care is on your mind, mm-hmm. then we need to have the conversation. And there's no age.
Better now than later.
That's right. Head over to legacyandfaith.com. Check out our website. There's information there. There's workshops coming up. There's a way to ask me questions, introduce yourself, and all of our podcasts are there as well. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, always great information. The Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.